This is Fresh Air. Perhaps the most offbeat town on television is Sicily, Alaska, where just about every resident is an eccentric. Sicily is the setting of the series Northern Exposure. Tonight is the season finale, a special episode that will trace this fictional town's history. Northern Exposure is actually filmed in Roslyn, Washington, just outside of Seattle. So earlier this month, when I was in Seattle for a public radio conference, I interviewed one of the most popular members of the cast, John Cullum. Cullum comes to television from a long career on Broadway in such musicals as Man of La Mancha, Camelot, and 1776. He originated the leading roles in On a Clear Day and Shenandoah. In Northern Exposure, Cullum plays Holling Vincour, a 63-year-old man whose lover is an 18-year-old beauty queen. Holling is the owner of the town's tavern. We recorded our interview at a popular Seattle tavern, the J&M Cafe, in front of an audience of public radio producers, program directors, and managers.
Thank you, Tara.
So, John, how was the character described to you when you first found out about Holling?
It was described to me as Gary Cooper meets Madonna. I said, I can live with that.
No, but here's the thing, you know, let's get right to it. In a relationship where there's an older person with an 18-year-old, right. The terms that our society often uses is cradle snatcher, right? It's such a loving relationship. People really dig the relationship. So how is it talked over to make it just a kind of relationship everybody would relate to and feel really warmly about?
You mean how did we devise a method of making it work or palatable even? We didn't. It's obvious that it's an outrageous relationship in the sense of the ages of the two people being different. But I never thought about that. I just thought, this is great for the old guy, you know. And if it's okay with her, it's okay with me. When we do the sex scenes, I've done sex scenes that I never thought I would ever do, and I wouldn't have done 10 years ago, but the first time I did any of those scenes was a circumcision scene.
Oh, yeah.
And it started off with me post-sex, it said in the script. She asks me a question about my virility, and I get a little upset. And then she looks down and says, you know, and I say, what's wrong? And she says, it's got a turtleneck. And I thought when I read this scene, I said, I could raise hell and say something about ridiculous, you know, I will only do this scene if it's necessary to the script and all that sort of stuff. But I thought, they'll never do this. It'll get cut.
No pun intended, right?
We've got to. And then I saw it on television, and there I was, and there she was looking down, and of course, all you could see was her looking down, and she said, "Looks like it's got a turtleneck," and I just about fell through the floor. I thought it was, but that was my first experience. After that, everything was kind of easy going.
So are there no like standards and practices, people reading the scripts every week and saying, you can't say that, you can't do that on TV?
I say it sometimes. They have in a TV script, they have a tendency to write what I call opposing ideas. I mean, if like the old man with a young girl, and if I'm strong and virile, they will want me to cry. They've had those kind of contrary scenes, which I think that's fine. That's fast, quick. It gets the point across, and it's very good writing. But sometimes they have a tendency to write things that put me off a little bit.
Like what?
Well, they had one scene where they wanted me to say that I love who I don't care anything about you. Your mind, I only love you for your body. And I was there again. I was prepared to make an issue of it, and I thought, no, I won't make an issue of it. I'll go, because they've been right about everything so far, and the scenes that were embarrassing to me and difficult to play didn't turn out to be embarrassing and didn't and really weren't difficult to play. And strangely enough, they were humorous and not in bad taste. But this scene got me, it riled me, because I didn't like the concept of the idea. And I thought, well, I will play the scene and I'll take the easy way out. I will paraphrase it. If I don't like it, I'll paraphrase it. And if they make an issue of it, I won't say it. I'll simply say, I won't do it. And what happened was, I got into the scene, and as I was playing it, it came out exactly as it was written, and instead of being something that was putting Shelley down, it turned out as a kind of a crude way of saying how much I really loved you, because she was very concerned about me not caring for her physically. So it turned out to be a loving thing, and as long as it worked on that level, I got through that scene and it was okay.
My guest is John Cullum, who plays Hollingvin Kaur on Northern Exposure. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. We're listening to an interview I recorded in Seattle with John Cullum of Northern Exposure.
I want to hear something about your Broadway career. Now, you're a baritone, right?
Baritone.
So I think the only singing that you did before you got to Broadway was in the church choir.
That's right.
Yeah. So did you have the right kind of voice for projecting on a Broadway stage when you got to Broadway after singing in the church choir?
No, not really. But when I got to Broadway, I got into a production of Finian's Rainbow, playing Woody. It was a fluke, and an agent saw me, and he kept putting me up for musicals. And I was working, doing Shakespeare in the Park for Joe Papp. And I was very comfortable in tights. Much more comfortable in tights than in singing, I can tell you that. But the audition was a disaster, but they asked me back, and I couldn't figure out why. But they asked me back a second time, and then they asked me, can you do something from Shakespeare? I said, I beg your pardon? I said, can you do something from Shakespeare? I said, I can do practically anything from Shakespeare, which was ridiculous. I had just done a couple of shows in Shakespeare, but I was also inebriated at the time. This is, I hate to say this over public, over the, anywhere, but the truth is, I was so nervous about singing that I finally started bolstering my confidence with liquor, and I was pretty blotched out when I sang the first time, and when I came back the second time I was sober, but very, very nervous. Anyway, they asked me to do Shakespeare. I read some Shakespeare for them, and they needed a standby for Richard Burton, and I got hired as the last person in the chorus to stand by for Richard Burton and for Roddy McDowell, and that's how I got into musical comedy.
Well, you were Richard Burton's standby in Camelot, right?
That's right.
So when you were understudying Richard Burton, did you pick up all of his mannerisms?
Oh, my God, yes. It took me 6 years to get over Richard. I can still get into trouble if I'm not careful. Allah has made a distant moon. Oh, yes, it was awful. But every review that I ever did, I was in his Hamlet, too. I played Laertes in that. And then I did my own Hamlet afterwards in Milwaukee. And every reviewer was very impressed with my Burton-esque performance. To be or not to be. I found that I even twisted a pinky ring. And when I got nervous on stage, somebody said, what are you doing? What does this mean? And I said, what does what mean? And Richard used to twist a pinky ring. And I even picked up physical mannerisms from him.
I want to read something that you once said. You once said, after being brought up on the King James Version of the Bible, Shakespeare's a snap. So did you like have to recite a lot from the Bible when you were?
What are you going
to
make me say?
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping you'd recite from
the 23rd Psalm.
Or, yeah.
I'm not going to try to recite anything from the Bible. But
did you have to do that when you were growing up?
Yeah, sword drills, and you know, anybody in the Southern Baptist Church. My brother's a Baptist minister. My sister's married to a Baptist minister, and I'm the black sheep. But it was translated in 1603, which means it was right in the middle of Shakespeare's time. So if you can read Shakespeare, if you can read the King James Version, which most of us can, that's why Americans really, if they get a good production of Shakespeare, can understand it quite readily. Most of them who read the Bible at all.
Now, you grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Right.
You went into the Army in Korea for
that's
a couple
right.
of years, got out of the Army, and decided to get a master's degree in finance, worked in your father's real estate office. And
this
then,
is your life.
Yeah, right. and then you split for Broadway. You decided to just like leave and go to New York.
Yeah. I was leading three different lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. I was going to the university. I was working in my dad's office. And I was the kind of a fair-haired guy. I'd done a lot of theater. And I was the tennis champion and the president of the fraternity and all this kind of stuff. And I was also the conductor of the Dixie Lee Junction Baptist Choir, which was a little choir way out. And I was picked up for drunken driving. It sounds like I was a real drunkard. Well, the truth is I drank a lot, and I don't drink anymore. But I was picked up for drunken driving, and it hit the papers. And if it hadn't been for that, I would not have. I don't think I'd have had the courage to make the decision. I was 26. I had a nice business to take over, my dad's business. Obviously, I was unhappy. And I used that opportunity to break and go to New York.
So will we get to hear you sing on Northern Exposure, Sing More?
You mean, I did sing.
You sang Ave Maria.
Yeah.
Have they thought of trying to work in more of your singing into the show?
I don't know. It seemed like pulling hen's teeth then. You know, then I don't know whether I've ever told this story to anybody. It's a little embarrassing. But in the second or third episode, there was a section where Maurice took over the radio station, and he's playing Broadway show tunes that the astronauts went up into outer space with. And he names one Glenn liked to go up by Yule by the King and I, and another one, Kiss Me Kate. And this is the one, he says, that I went up in, and it was On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. And I looked at that thing, and I thought, these guys don't realize that if they play the Broadway album, that's going to be me singing that song.
Wow.
And they didn't know that.
They really didn't know that?
No, they didn't know that.
Did you tell them?
I did, and they cut it. Yeah, I don't know whether they really realized it. Finally, they got around to asking me to do Ave Maria. And I was very nervous about that because they wanted me to do a cappella. And Ave Maria is an art song. It's not that easy to sing.
You know what I'd really love to do, and you could just tell me no. I'd love to ask you to sing a chorus of On a Clear Day.
Only for you, Terry. Can I do the introduction?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't even know whether I can know the words. Anyway, this is the scene where he's talking to Daisy Gamble, who has extrasensory perception. And he says, could anyone among us have an inkling or a clue what magic feats of wizardry and voodoo you can do? And who would ever guess what powers you possess? And who would have the sense to change his views and start to mind his ESPs and Qs? And who would ever dream of hearing phones before they ring, or ordering the earth to send you up a little spring, or finding you've been crowned the queen of lost and found? And who would not be stunned to see you prove there's more to us than surgeons can remove. So much more than we ever knew. So much more were we born to do. Should you draw back the curtain, this I am certain, you'll be impressed with you. On a clear day, rise and look around you, and you'll see who you are. On a clear day, how it will astound you that the glow of your being outshines every star. You'll feel part of every mountain, sea, and shore. You can hear from far and near a world you've never heard before. And on a clear day, I started in the wrong key. You realize that?
Actor John Cullum, he plays Holling Vincour on Northern Exposure. The season finale is tonight. Our interview with John Cullum was produced by Catherine Ball. Thanks also to Art Ellis and Greg Coe. The engineers were Lowell Kizo and Gene Gatlin of public station KPLU in Seattle. A special thanks to Woody Crocker, the set designer for Northern Exposure. This is Fresh Air.